television and radio schedules, newspapers and magazines from just about every section of the media industry, from fashion to sport, seem to take a very similar approach to this time of year. They're full of programs and articles containing video clips or pictorial reviews, reminding us of the people and events that made the headlines during the previous 12 months. Their review of the year, of course, may well be very different from our own. The things they highlight on the national and international level may well be a million miles away from the things that affected us on a personal level. Well, reviews of the past are one thing, but what about the previews of the year to come? Well, those are another thing altogether. I mean, when you think of it, weather forecasters can't tell us with any degree of certainty what it's going to be like today, never mind a week's time, a month's time, or 12 months' time. I mean, on a similar note, I can remember back in my secondary school days when experts predicted that within 20 or 30 years or so, technology would have taken over so much of what people do in the workplace that the average working week would be halved and people would have so much leisure time that they really wouldn't know what to do with it. Well, I don't know about you, but that certainly passed my life by big time. In fact, most of us seem to be busier than ever, don't we? Technology hasn't alleviated our workload. It has intensified it. There seems to be no escape these days. Texting, emailing, FaceTiming, Skype, Zoom, MS Teams, not to mention social media. Technology has taken over and life is lived in fast-forward mode. We're always in a hurry. You ever notice that? Always in a hurry. We walk fast, we talk fast, we drive fast, we eat fast. We've hardly swallowed the last bite when we jump up from the table and say, "Sorry, folks, I have to run." Life is passing us by without us even noticing. So here we are on the first Lord's Day of 2025. How will we do this year? Will we be as busy? Will we make any better use of the time that's given to us? In 360 days' time, when this year is over, will we be looking back with joy or regret? It's with those thoughts in mind that I'd like us to focus for a short time this morning on the verses that we read together from Ephesians 5, because they've got something really helpful to say to us as we look forward to the rest of 2025. If we listen to what they say, of course. Be very careful then how you live, says verse 15. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be careful. Oh, not just careful, but very careful how you live, says Paul. He's just been talking in the earlier verses of chapter 5 about the way so many people were living back in his day And surprise, surprise, it's not that different from the way so many people live in our day and generation. People only out for themselves, using other people or religion or things for their own selfish ends and advantage. And no, we're not just talking about politicians. It happens at every level of society. So much promiscuity and the openly jubilant display of behavior that's offensive both to decency and morality. The celebration of so-called alternative lifestyles. Greed that sucks the last penny out of everything and everyone, both commercially and personally. Scammers and fraudsters worming their way into people's lives. Gossip and character assassination. Religious smooth talkers. Be very careful then how you live, says Paul. He's already told us what that looks like in the second half of chapter 4, and which he very handily boils down for us into a couple of short sentences in the opening of verses of chapter 5. Be very careful how you live. Follow God's example in everything you do. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. God didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us, even to the extent of sending his only son into the world as one of us, so that on our behalf he could take the punishment we deserve for our sin and enable us to enjoy a personal relationship with him and live the kind of life he always intended for us to live, a life of love for him and for others. Something else these verses say to us is, make the most of every opportunity. And he gives a reason, because the days are evil. What does he mean by that? The days are evil. Well, take a look around you at the way people are behaving, and what do you see? Constant sinful behavior. There's no end to it. The moral climate is predominantly sinful. And in that climate, Christians are to make the most of every opportunity to redeem the time, to buy it back, to make good use of the time, not to squander it, not to waste it, not to fritter it away, not to be lazy and selfish. To redeem the time. Do you get the implication here? It's not about making the most of every opportunity for ourselves. That would be abject selfishness, something Paul speaks against very strongly, both here in Ephesians as well as elsewhere in his other letters. No, he's talking about opportunities for doing good. There's an old saying that maybe helps us catch what Paul's talking about here. The devil makes work for idle hands. You ever heard that one, young folks? That was bandied about when I was your age. And I remember it well. The devil makes work, only it's never said like that. It's always said the devil makes work for idle hands, doesn't he? Yes. So don't be idle, says Paul. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, Peterson translates verse 11 in the Message. What Paul goes on to describe as the fruitful deeds of darkness. Deeds that stand in stark contrast to the behavior displayed by those who know and love and serve the Lord. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. In other words, in the course of our everyday lives, we should be focusing on the good, on the right, on the true. To Remember those words that Paul writes in Philippians when he says to us about rejoicing in the Lord always and letting our gentleness be evident to all. And he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Sadly, our minds seem to be fixed on lots of other things than those. Goodness, righteousness, truth. Just think of the time wasted in sinning. And the kind of lifestyle we described a few moments ago as outlined by Paul in the first part of Ephesians 5. And just think of the time wasted in other ways. Remember Martha in the Bible? Martha, sister of Mary and Lazarus. I often think Martha gets bad press from Christians these days because we seem to almost condemn her for her approach one day in her home in Bethany when Jesus was there. And she was busy in the kitchen and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to Jesus. And Martha was getting a bit het up in the kitchen and she came through and said, "Master, tell my sister to come and help me." Do you know, Jesus responded to Martha, "You're getting yourself worked up over nothing really, Martha. Only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the right thing and it won't be taken away from her." Now, was Martha committing a sin by slaving over a hot stove? No, of course not. But here's the thing. She was so preoccupied with what she was doing that she missed out on something absolutely amazing. God was in her living room. But before we write Martha off, think about what Jesus did here. Did he tell her to stop what she was doing and come and sit down with Mary? No. He simply pointed out that in the overall scheme of things that day, Mary had chosen the important over the urgent. The important over the urgent. Whereas Martha had become so taken up with the urgent that she lost sight of the important. The meal would have done later on. For now, she should have taken the chance to get close to Jesus, to learn from him, to experience his blessing. It's a question of priorities, wasn't it? Food now, listen later. Listen now, food later. Do you know, every one of us face the same choice time after time after time. The important over the urgent. The urgent over the important. Sometimes we go with Mary, and sometimes we go with Martha. It's a mistake that we make almost every day of our lives. We get so caught up in the here and now that we fail to take account of the eternal, the things that will last forever. We live our lives in overload. We're overloaded with commitments. We've committed ourselves to go here and to go there, to take part in this or that, and as a result, we soon begin meeting ourselves coming. We're overloaded with possessions. I mean, we have so much stuff that we haven't enough room to store it all, do we? It's shoved up in the attic or out in a shed, even by a shed, just simply to carry the stuff that we can't keep in the house, but we don't want to give it away. Oh, we'll use that someday. I'm always at that. Every screw I take out of someone, I think, I'll keep that because I might need that someday. That someday never comes, does it? And maybe we've gone into debt to pay for all the things that we simply must have. And now we're afraid somebody's going to steal them on us. And we're overloaded with work, up early to avoid the traffic or get a parking space, take no breaks, work through lunch or eat on the go, find ourselves with more and more to do because there's not enough staff to do it all. Sadly, some of the problem can be of our own making, doing two or three jobs at the same time because we need the money to pay for all the stuff. And we're overloaded with information, aren't we? So much information flying about. We don't know which is genuine information and which is made up. Fake news, real news. Not sure you can even trust BBC Verify. Because there's an agenda in there too, isn't there? So much information. So much to take on board. So much to keep up with. We can't possibly absorb it all. Do you get the picture? There are so many demands on our time and so many good things that need to be done. Therefore, says Paul, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What do you think God's will is for you for this new year? Do you think he wants your mind so full of worries and anxieties that you can't think spiritual thoughts? Do you think he wants your calendar so crowded that you don't have time for the important things? The people that he's given us in our lives. People that we can lose like that. And we can be so busy, always with good intentions. My father reminded me of that many a time when he was alive. Son, he said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions and you're braving far down it. Because my motto in life, he said, was wipe it off to the day after tomorrow, the things that you can put off to the day. No, wipe it off till the day after tomorrow. Whatever that saying is, you know what I mean? Can't even think straight. Yeah, we get so busy, so caught up in stuff that we forget about people. Is that not what life's about? About the families that God has given to us, about the people who mean so much to us. Paul sums it up here in verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. That is, be filled with the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. In other words, give the Lord priority in your life. Make time for worship. Make time for fellowship with others, as he goes on to say in verses 19 to 21. Don't allow other things to rob you of these vital activities in your life, because to do so is to damage your relationship with God, first and foremost, but also with the people around you, including those who are nearest and dearest to you. Don't let other things interfere with developing your relationship with the Lord or coming together with others for worship on Sundays or opportunities during the week for learning from God's word and for praying together. not only will you be blessed in doing these things, but you'll also grow in your faith and trust in the Lord. Maybe that's the best bit about New Year. Not the excuse for a party or even the bank holiday, but the chance to take stock and to reset things. The way so often you have to reset the computer, reboot it, Control-Alt-Delete. Or the car sometimes these days with the chips that they use, and they can get wee bugs in them too. And, you know, I had a car one time that I remember leaving Belfast one day, and it was only running three cylinders. And I thought, what's wrong with this car? And I called in with the mechanic who did my work, and I said, that car's only running three cylinders. Would you take a wee look at it for me? He jumped into the car and he started. The car was in four cylinders. The car was perfectly fine. That happened to me frequently over the course of the time I had that car, because all you had to do was switch it off, let it reset and restart, and it was Bob's your uncle. It was grand. We need to reset our lives, and New Year gives us the opportunity to do that, reset our priorities. Christians used to organize family life around Sunday worship and weekday evening church activities so that they could be strong in their relationship with the Lord, and their children would have a really good opportunity of coming to know the Lord for themselves as early in life as possible, being influenced by the Christian leaders in the various organizations and making good friends as well. But this focus doesn't seem to be as common today. Oh, it's absolutely right and proper, of course, that children and young people should be given opportunities to develop their interests, their skills, and experiences as they prepare for the ever more demanding and challenging adult world that they will one day inhabit, God willing. But folks, not at the expense of opportunities to develop a relationship with the Lord through church and Christian youth organizations and activities, which at the end of the day will give them a better foundation for the pressures that will impact upon them every single day of their lives. The expectations to achieve, to possess, to measure up. Those are part and parcel of the world in which we live today, especially the virtual world of internet and social media. As with every aspect of life, there is a balance that needs to be struck. And if we're going to strike the right balance, we need to take great care in setting the priorities that shape both our own personal lives as well as our family lives. First and foremost, we were made for relationship with the Lord. Relationship that begins now and continues into eternity, into the new heaven and new earth that Jesus will establish on his return. We need to be careful not to fall into the way of life described by Paul in Romans 1:25, in which people exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. And so as we move into this new year of 2025, let me finish by pointing us one more time in Paul's direction and his teaching, this time in Romans 13, verses 11 to 14, as we find it in the Message translation. Listen to what Paul writes. Make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and immorality, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed, says Paul. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last moment. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Let's pray together.